great doll fight is over.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You can start going on with your life now. The battle between Mattel and MG Entertainment has come to a close. A federal jury has ordered the maker of the Bratz doll to pay Mattel $100 million. The jury said a former Mattel employee took the Bratz idea to MGA. Mattel had wanted almost 20 times as much money in the case, but it still hailed the victory. China is the world's second largest auto market after the U.S., and like the U.S., China is trying to reduce its thirst for foreign oil by pushing smaller cars. The latest from Scott Tong in Shanghai.
Beijing is cutting taxes on pint-sized cars, vehicles with engines less than 1 liter. But this is a tiny slice of the market, less than 5%. They don't sell well, says analyst Michael Dunn of J.D. Power, because Chinese car buyers are status conscious and size matters.
It's a statement to their friends and neighbors, look where I've come to. And if they're driving around in a tiny little car with a small engine, it says they still got a long way to go.
More than 90% of China's car market is medium-sized vehicles, untouched by the new tax. In the long run, though, Chinese consumers may choose more fuel-efficient cars for other reasons. Jack Perkowski of the Chinese auto parts firm Asimco says domestic car makers are investing heavily in future gas misers.
They think this is their opportunity in this very fast-growing, large China auto market to really make their mark.
The government is also expected to raise gas prices, making it more painful to drive bigger cars. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The price of oil is up a bit this morning to above $117 a barrel. It's really moving the stock markets right now. Yesterday, the Dow climbed 26 points, a fraction, to 11,412. A big reason was energy stocks. The S&P 500 added 4. The Nasdaq fell 3 points. In Asia today, mixed results. The Nikkei fell a bit. Hong Kong shares added 2%, though. In Europe, stocks are down 1% so far. Here's something that might restore your faith in corporate America. A new survey finds that many companies are trying to help employees deal with the cost of gasoline. This comes from the consulting firm Mercer. Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
Mercer polled more than 300 companies in July. Nearly a quarter are introducing four-day work weeks for the first time. Another 24% are offering telecommuting. That's not practical for, say, hospitals. But Steve Gross with Mercer says they're offering prepaid gas cards instead.
They didn't want to raise salaries. They didn't want to make it a permanent expense, but they also could do this as a one-off kind of activity.
Gary Chason teaches labor relations at Clark University. He says he's never seen so many employers helping workers save on gas. But he wonders if paring the work week down to 4 10-hour days is productive.
And you have to really ask, what will be done in those extra 2 hours that the person is at the plant? Does that really make a full day's work?
But some employers are so desperate not to drive workers away from far-flung jobs, they'll do anything. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Here's something that won't restore your faith in corporate America. Citigroup has agreed to pay $18 million for stealing from its customers. Now, the bank didn't call it stealing. It was called account sweeping. So, if you paid too much money to your credit card account, the bank would automatically wipe out the positive balance and keep the money. Yesterday, California said Citigroup will give refunds to thousands of customers with 10% interest. The state says Citigroup preyed on poor people and the recently deceased. The bank doesn't agree with that assessment. It says it voluntarily stopped sweeping in 2003, 12 years after the program started.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
The two food stories of the past year have been prices and the environmental impact of food production. One of our commentators, Will Wilkinson, just moved from Washington, D.C. to America's heartland, Iowa. The Eat Local movement he discovered there got him thinking.
The food co-op in my new hometown offers buttons, bags, and newsletters coaxing customers to eat local. The deli counter helpfully enumerates the food miles of the various goods on offer. That's the distance traveled from farm to market. The new Oxford American Dictionary's word of the year for 2007 was, yes, locavore. Local food is often better tasting and more nutritious. That's a pretty good reason to pay more for it. Maybe you want to support small local farms. Go ahead, if that's your bag. But don't think going local does much to reduce your carbon footprint. And it shouldn't do much to ease your conscience. How far your food travels matters a lot less than what kind of food it is, or how it was produced. According to a recent study out of Carnegie Mellon University, the distance traveled by the average American's dinner rose about 25% from 1997 to 2004 due to increasing global trade. But carbon emissions from food transport saw only a 5% bump thanks to the efficiencies of vast cargo container ships. A tomato raised in a heated greenhouse next door can be more carbon intensive than one shipped halfway across the globe. And cows spew a lot more greenhouse gas than hens or kumquats, so eating just a bit less beef can do more carbon-wise than going completely local. It's complicated. But one thing is clear enough. The farmers in Mexico, China, and Brazil, who produce a lot of the imported food Americans eat, are poorer than the farmers here in Iowa. A lot poorer. The corollary of eat local is don't eat Mexican, so to speak. But the way poor people get less poor is to do business with people who have a lot of money, like us. If the local stuff is mouthwatering, you might as well pony up. But if your salad is made with Mexican lettuce, savor your righteousness.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You'll find a link to his blog at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.